It's Tuesday, March 24th, 2009, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville. Produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C., this is your normal daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal's staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about our show at our website, stash.normal.org. And continue the education and conversation on our blog as well. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. The podcasting and blogging technology for the Normal Daily Audio Stash is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. For your professional web design needs, visit redaphid.com. Good day, Stashers, and welcome to the podcast, which has reached another milestone. Today is stash number 250 since I began producing these daily audio stashes back in March of 2008. Thanks for making the growing truth about cannabis the most popular marijuana law reform grassroots podcast on the internet. A couple notices here about some upcoming events. Tomorrow morning, if you're in the Springfield, Massachusetts area, you can listen to Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, appearing at 8 a.m. Eastern Time on the Bax and O'Brien Show on WAQY-FM 102 in Springfield, Massachusetts. Check that out. And tomorrow, there's going to be a hearing on Illinois Senate Bill 1381, 3 p.m. Central Time. This is the hearing for medical marijuana in the state of Illinois. We'll be talking to Dan Lynn from Illinois Normal today in our Government at Work segment to give you a little bit more information on those bills. Also, we've got our hemp headlines, as usual, with the news of the Massachusetts legalization bills that are coming into play. And a look at a new study about cannabis and lung cancer, which will give the prohibitionists some fits. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, features Variety Tuesday, a song called Ganja by Echo Movement. And in our second interview segment, we're going to be looking at the economics of marijuana prohibition with Cliff Schaefer from thedruglibrary.org and our choice, school lunches or marijuana prohibition in the state of California. All that and more coming up on your Normal Daily Audio Stash.
Hello, I'm Paul Stanford from the Hemp and Cannabis Foundation, or THCF. Medical marijuana is legal in 13 states today, and THCF has clinics in 8 of those states. Our doctors help qualified patients obtain an authorization for medical marijuana in their state. Patients are eligible for medical marijuana with a history of either severe chronic pain and or nausea, cancer, AIDS or HIV, hepatitis, glaucoma, seizure disorders like epilepsy, chronic muscle spasms such as in multiple sclerosis or asthma, neurodegenerative diseases such as Alzheimer's, and gastrointestinal disorders like IBS or Crohn's disease. If you or someone you know has one of these conditions, our doctors will help you obtain a permit for medical marijuana. THCF Medical Clinics has offices in Washington State, Oregon, California, Colorado, Hawaii, Nevada, Montana, and now Michigan. Call 1-800-723-0188 or go to the web at hemp.org or 1-800-723-0188.
Now it's time to take a look at the latest stories about marijuana from news organizations across America and around the world in our Normal Daily Audio Stash, Hemp Headlines. Massachusetts introduces marijuana legalization bills. California's highly publicized effort to legalize the commercial cultivation and sale of cannabis is getting some well-deserved company. A pair of bills, House Bill 2929 and Senate Bill 1801, seeking to, quote, tax and regulate the cannabis industry, end quote, have just been introduced in the Massachusetts legislature. These proposals seek to legally regulate the commercial production and distribution of marijuana for adults over 21 years of age. Like California's proposal, they would impose licensing requirements and excise taxes on the retail sale of cannabis. By some estimates, these taxes could raise nearly $100 million in annual state revenue. Adults who possess or grow marijuana for personal use or who engaged in the non-profit transfer of cannabis would not be subject to taxation under the law. You can read more about these bills at the new website, cantaxreg.com. If you live in Massachusetts, we urge you to write your elected officials in support of H2929 and S1801 by visiting the link at our post at stash.normal.org. Former Normal board member Richard Evans, who assisted in drafting the landmark legislation, said, quote, "Decades of whispered grumblings about the wisdom and efficacy of prohibition is rapidly giving way to a serious, really serious public discussion about how to replace it. Those who consider themselves leaders in government and the media have the obligation to either show how prohibition can be made to work or join in the exploration of alternatives," end quote. We can't think of a better place to begin this discussion on the East Coast than Massachusetts, where last November 65% of voters endorsed a statewide initiative reclassifying marijuana possession as a fine-only offense under state law. Will a majority of Bay State voters also support legalization? We may soon find out. Marijuana cuts lung cancer tumor growth in half, study says. The active ingredient in marijuana cuts tumor growth in common lung cancer in half and significantly reduces the ability of the cancer to spread, say researchers at Harvard University who tested the chemical in both lab and mouse studies. They say this is the first set of experiments to show that the compound, delta-tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, inhibits EGF-induced growth and migration in epidermal growth factor receptor-expressing non-small cell lung cancer cell lines. Lung cancers that overexpress EGFR are usually highly aggressive and resistant to chemotherapy. That's right, Stashers. It cut growth in half of cancers that are highly aggressive and resistant to chemotherapy. When you put good old THC on the case, it steps right up and punches the toughest cancer in the lab right in the face. They put THC to the test, and it's proved its worth. Dr. Anju Preet, a researcher in the Division of Experimental Medicine, said, quote, "The beauty of this study is that we are showing that a substance of abuse, if used prudently, may offer a new road to therapy against lung cancer," end quote. Do I hear a recognized medicinal value in that statement? A new road to therapy certainly sounds like enough information to me to justify a reclassification of the Schedule 1 drug. In the present study, the researchers first demonstrated that two different lung cancer cell lines, as well as patient lung tumor samples, express CB1 and CB2, and that non-toxic doses of THC inhibited growth and spread in the cell lines. Dr. Preet said, quote, "When the cells are pre-treated with THC, they have less EGFR-stimulated invasion as measured by various in vitro assays," end quote. Then, for 3 weeks, researchers injected standard doses of THC into mice that had been implanted with human lung cancer cells and found that tumors were reduced in size and weight by about 50% in treated animals compared to a control group. There was also about a 60% reduction in cancer lesions on the lungs in these mice, as well as a significant reduction in protein markers associated with cancer progression, Dr. Preet says. These kind of results are normally enough to be heralded as a breakthrough, and the media takes such statements and elevates them to magic bullet status. If this were a drug manufactured by Eli Lilly, this study would have been on your local news. But it's just marijuana, so I suppose we need more studies. Dr. Preet doesn't disappoint. Dr. Preet said, quote, "THC offers some promise, but we have a long way to go before we know what its potential is," end quote. Well, yeah, if my job was testing pot, I'd call for more testing every time. But that's just me. Jury acquits Bruce Olson in Washington medical marijuana case. Port Orchard, Washington. A jury has acquitted 54-year-old Bruce Olson on one count of manufacturing marijuana and one count of possession of marijuana with intent to deliver. Olson, who had a card from the state allowing him to use marijuana for medicinal purposes, was arrested in May 2007 by detectives with the West Sound Narcotics Enforcement Team, who contended that he had more marijuana than the state allowed. The jury deliberated between 2 and 3 hours between Monday and Tuesday before returning the verdict. Olson said he had to sell his home to fund his defense. He and his wife Pamela live in a travel trailer. Olson said after the verdict, quote, "But it's worth it for the cause. Quit arresting medical marijuana patients," end quote. I am ecstatic over this news. I have quite a few friends who've been making that trek up to Port Orchard to observe this trial. One of them is the guy who had the 4-inch stop arresting patient sign that caused the judge to dismiss an entire day's worth of jury seating. And another is our podcast sponsor, Paul Stanford, who gave expert testimony on marijuana cultivation. Prosecutors are going to find it increasingly difficult to gain convictions in these medical marijuana trials, especially as the federal government has signaled a hands-off approach to letting the states manage their medical marijuana programs. Shame on them for bankrupting the Olsons in order to pursue an anti-marijuana agenda, especially in a state where the people have decided to allow medical marijuana. Maine Medical Marijuana Initiative has 55,000 signatures. If you're thinking, but wait, Maine already has medical marijuana, you're not alone. But Maine's medical marijuana is a strange thing. They have no medical marijuana program or medical marijuana cards. If your doctor recommends it, you can have medical marijuana, if you can find it. Sometime in the next couple of months, Maine lawmakers will take up a bill that could revolutionize the way medical marijuana patients are treated in Maine and how they get access to the drug. If the legislature fails to approve the Maine Medical Marijuana Act, the measure will be headed for Maine voters this fall. That's because supporters have gathered more than 55,000 valid signatures to get it on the ballot. Maine, along with 12 other states, including California, has had a medical marijuana law on the books for 10 years. Maine voters approved it by a wide margin. But ever since the law was passed, patients have had no practical legal way of accessing marijuana. First, they have to find a doctor willing to recommend it as a treatment. Then they have to grow a few plants on their own or find someone willing to do it for them. So activists have launched a new initiative to legally distribute medical marijuana through nonprofit state-licensed dispensaries. The initiative proposed by the group Maine Citizens for Patients' Rights directs the Department of Health and Human Services to issue identification cards to patients who qualify for medical marijuana. The cards are voluntary, and they would be issued to patients' primary caregivers, those who provide pot through the dispensaries. Each caregiver would be limited to 5 qualified patients and no more than 6 marijuana plants for each. The plants would be grown in a secure facility. In addition to creating a dispensary system for medical marijuana, including registration and renewal fees to pay for it, Maine's initiative also expands the list of diseases and conditions eligible for medical marijuana treatment. Hepatitis C, Crohn's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease, and chronic pain would be added. But Roy McKinney says the very nature of these dispensaries will make them hard to police. He points to research from the California Police Association that highlights numerous problems with California's medical marijuana law and a white paper from the Riverside District Attorney's Office, quote, that in fact stated, "Medical marijuana storefront businesses have allowed criminals to flourish in California, and I don't think that's anything that the people of Maine want," end quote, he says. Which is why the people of Maine have signed an initiative to create dispensaries nothing like what's happening in California. Law enforcement in other states need to understand that California's medical marijuana law is its own creature, unlike any of the other 12 medical marijuana states. Doctors in California can recommend medical marijuana for any condition they feel marijuana will help. Dispensaries there can serve anyone with a card or recommendation. While there are operating guidelines, there is no mandated caregiver system requiring the dispensaries to care for certain patients or limiting how many patients they can serve. Finally, there is no statute on the production of the medical marijuana aside from the plant possession limits. Using any comparison of California's dispensary system's pros and cons to discuss the Maine dispensary bill is like pointing out that a shark attack off Venice Beach is a reason why Mainers shouldn't set lobster traps. What applies in California does not apply to Maine.
Dear Mr. President, last November you were elected on a platform of change. You promised the country reform on the political system. Well, let me tell you what Normal.org and many other Americans want changed. Marijuana laws. It was estimated that America made its 20 millionth arrest for marijuana possession this year. You want a real economic problem? How about the amount of money being spent on simple possession arrests? Incarcerating people costs taxpayers around $23,000 per year, and Normal estimates that up to $10 billion a year are spent on enforcement for mostly nonviolent offenders. Now let's imagine what would happen if marijuana was legal. Not only would we save billions each year on enforcement, but imagine the economic boost. You would produce jobs growing, selling, and tax dollars coming in from the regulation of marijuana. I'm not saying let people loose to sell on the streets. Put government regulation into tax and control at sales like alcohol. Street dealers are the problem, not a guy with a gram in his pocket. Put in harsh punishments for people who drive under the influence, and stop punishing people who enjoy marijuana safely in their home. Mr. President, if you really want change, legalize marijuana.
Tuesday is our look at your government at work, here at the Audio Stash. While the inevitable re-legalization of cannabis hemp will have to happen at the federal level, the steps leading to that destination take place at the state and municipal levels. We focus in on the initiatives, bills, and amendments regarding cannabis across all 50 states, and what activists like you are doing to enact a positive reform to our cruel and outdated marijuana laws.
Body dies, the ego cries, the birds they sing, the creatures learn. It's an honest day's work, yeah, 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 yeah. It's an honest day's work.
If you're working hard to make an impact in your city and state, please email us at stash@normal.org. And let's share your local efforts with the worldwide cannabis community. Together, we can affect our government at work.
Afternoon pollution rises high into the sky. How can we still deny the truth?
At the top of the show, we mentioned that there's an important medical marijuana bill, SB 1381, that's going to be heard tomorrow in Springfield, Illinois at the State House, starting at 3 o'clock local time. Here to discuss the medical marijuana bills in Illinois, and welcome back to the Stash, Dan Lynn from Illinois Normal. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Russ. It's always good to be on the show.
So in Illinois, we're looking at a medical marijuana bill. There's a pair of measures, one in the House, one in the Senate. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about these bills?
Well, they're identical twin bills. The first one is introduced in the Senate. That's Senate Bill 1381. And in the House, it's House Bill number 2514. Both of them are titled the Compassionate Use of Medical Cannabis Pilot Program Act, and they're a three-year pilot program. It would allow for patients with these pretty standard conditions that are used to treat, or medical cannabis is used to treat cancer, HIV, AIDS, multiple sclerosis, Lou Gehrig's disease, chronic pain, muscle spasms. And we've had very little success getting these bills through the past few years, but we are gaining momentum, and we're very optimistic this year with those two bills that we're going to be able to pass that and protect the sick and terminally ill in Illinois.
Who are the sponsors on the House and Senate side, and does this break down by any party lines?
We do have bipartisan support in the House. The House bill is sponsored by a Democrat out of Skokie, Representative Lou Lang, and it's also co-sponsored by Representative Saviano, who is a Republican from the River Grove area. And then in the Senate, it's sponsored by Senator Hayne, who is a former state's attorney. And our hope is that being a former state's attorney, he'll be able to ease some of the concerns that law enforcement has and hopefully get them to stop actively lobbying against this bill.
That was something I wanted to ask you about, is if there is at this time any organized opposition to this movement, and what are some of the things your opponents bring up?
Well, every year the law enforcement community seems to actively lobby against this bill, and some of their arguments are that it sends the wrong message to children, and that this would be very susceptible to abuse, and it would end up being de facto legalization. And we know that those claims are untrue, and they're more or less fear-mongering these claims to try and get people to vote against this bill in the Illinois legislature. And I think with having a former state's attorney as the lead sponsor, it's going to be really hard for the law enforcement community to just throw these fear tactics out there without any support behind them, because being a former prosecutor and for the state's attorney's office, he knows how this bill will be enacted and practiced and what there really should be concerned about in the law enforcement community, and that's real crime. And if there are any abuses of this program, those people still would be punished. And the Senator Hayne has even come out and said he does not support full legalization for all adults. He just wants to make sure that sick people in Illinois are protected.
Illinois is a pretty diverse state, from, you know, the urban landscape of Chicago in the Northeast to the great the southern areas of the state that are quite rural and agricultural. What obstacles do you face in getting this message across to the people, and do you find popular support for this among all manner of Illinoisans?
Well, illness doesn't know party lines or race or any other type of belief. You know, people can get sick. And once when people are sick, they want to be able to use the medicine that works and that their doctor recommends. And as you mentioned, there is a widespread support in the Chicagoland area. But then once when you get outside of Chicago in the collar counties, you get a little bit more of a conservative feel in those suburbs. And we have ran into some opposition there, getting some of the legislators to vote in favor of our bills in the past. But then once when you get down to the rural areas, it pretty much breaks down to party line. When we did have a full floor vote a few years ago for the medical cannabis bill, there was only one Republican who broke the party line and voted in favor of our medical cannabis legislation, and that was State Senator Dave Severson from the Rockford area.
So how do you plan on reaching out to these people in these areas who oppose the message of medical marijuana? What messages do you feel will best help them understand?
Well, we have a very active letter-writing campaign, so we're targeting newspapers and publications in some of those rural counties and areas downstate. And then we're also going to start going to support groups for conditions that would be allowed to use medical cannabis for their treatment. So we're going to go and find where the hospitals are located in some of these rural parts of the state, and then find out what support groups those hospitals offer, and then try and get some of our volunteers and members to go to those support groups and try and rally up some support for this bill and this issue.
Let's look at the bills themselves and some of the language in them. It sounds as if they're somewhat built on the template that other medical marijuana states have adopted. What specifically do the bills call for with regard to limits or plants?
Well, they both allow for 7 plants and 2 ounces of usable cannabis, but at the same time, the Department of Public Health will use those guidelines to establish what they would consider a adequate supply of medicine for a 60-day period. So on the face, we do have 7 plants, 2 ounces available, but that could probably go up or down depending on what the Department of Public Health envisions as an adequate supply. But I wouldn't imagine that being dropped any lower than those 7 plants and the 2 ounces. And otherwise, the bill is, as you said, kind of modeled after some of the other states that have passed this legislation before. And, you know, our reasoning for doing that is that these states that have passed this legislation that's very similar have these programs working without any widespread abuse. And we think that that's a good idea to try and follow their lead.
One of the problems that's cropped up in these existing medical marijuana states with laws similar are the protections of the right to work for medical marijuana patients. Does your legislation do anything to protect the right to work for patients?
It does have some language in there about employers not needing to allow patients to medicate on the job, but then it offers protections for the patient saying that they're not technically impaired or under the influence of cannabis simply because there are metabolites found in their system. So it does a decent job of trying to both protect the patients who would be working for people as well as protect those employers who are going to have medical cannabis patients working for them.
Does your bill propose any sort of statewide registry or identification system?
Oh, yeah. The Department of Public Health would issue a registry card to the patient as well as their caregiver. And it also calls for medical marijuana organizations to exist, and those would serve as a dispensary for the patients who would not be able to grow or provide their own cannabis as medicine.
Hmm. Now, nobody's crystal ball here is perfect, but with the progress made in Michigan from the last election and the kind of the theme of change that's going on in this nation at the moment, what's your best guesses here on politically how this bill might fare? If it made it through the chambers, would the governor sign it?
I believe so. Our sponsor of our bill last year in the Senate is now the Illinois Senate president, so I think he'll be able to use that power and influence to get this legislation through. And obviously the national spotlight has been on Illinois with our former governor being impeached, and the new governor, Pat Quinn, we have a little bit of a feel that he supports this issue, but we don't have any public statements to kind of hold him to yet, and we're working on that as fast as we can.
Hmm. Exciting times in Illinois, and Dan Lynn is the executive director of Illinois Normal. If just as we wrap things up here, is there any way folks that want to help out can get involved with Illinois Normal and to contact their representatives?
Yes, they can get involved with Illinois Normal by going through the National Normal website, or they can visit our site directly at www.illinoisnormal.org. And if they wanted to contact their state legislators, they can call the state directory switchboard down in Springfield at 217-782-2000 and have the operator connect them with their state senator or their state representative and have the legislator vote yes on both of these bills, Senate Bill 1381 and House Bill 2514. And that's the best way that people can help and get involved.
That's great information. Dan Lynn from Illinois Normal at illinoisnormal.org. Thanks so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Russ.
Hello, this is Webb Hubble. Life insurance is now available for responsible marijuana smokers. For years, responsible marijuana smokers have not been able to access affordable life insurance products. Normal uniquely supports cannabis consumers. Two carriers have already agreed to offer all of their traditional life insurance products at all levels without excluding individuals who smoke marijuana responsibly. Help Normal and help yourself. If you've been declined for life insurance, are paying above market premiums, or simply want to know what now may be available in the way of insurance for marijuana smokers, contact me at info@mclaughlinonline.com or simply call me at 202-293-5566.
The battle to end adult marijuana prohibition can sometimes seem endlessly frustrating and impossible to overcome. One way we bond as a community and draw strength to continue is by rejuvenating our spirit through art and music. The Marijuana Music Awards exist to recognize those sonic artists in all genres of music who feature a ganja-friendly message to motivate and inspire all the cannabis community. Our Daily Toker Tunes, brought to you by MarijuanaMusicAwards.com, feature the finest in blues, rock, jazz, hip-hop, rap, reggae, country, bluegrass, and dance music to enhance that 420 feeling and refresh all you stashers for another day on the front lines of the drug war. Enjoy this cut from MarijuanaMusicAwards.com and visit our blog at stash.normal.org to learn how you can vote for your favorites and enter your toker tunes in the 2009 Marijuana Music Awards. Ganja by Echo Movement is Variety Tuesday's great toker tune. Echo Movement's message is about love. The band have a passion to learn, communicate, and appreciate life's opportunities. Their music respects the earth and honors the pursuit of happiness. Echo Movement says love is all you need. The band has an impressive lineup of musicians, each member having their own distinctive accomplishments. Together, the eight-piece band perform with incredibly vibrant creativity. Echo Movement merges beach culture with island and world music to create a unique blend which they call Surf Reggae Soca. The band proves the new generation is built on independent accomplishments. Their songs are about people's integrity and ability to take on any challenge while still remaining a part of the community. With fans across the world, Echo Movement is living proof of their message. Their music is packed with energy, the lyrics are universal, and the hooks are infectious. The band have shared the stage with many greats, including The Wailers and Pacifier. For more about Echo Movement, nominees in 2009's Marijuana Music Awards, check out echomovement.com and myspace.com/echomovement. And registered stashers, you can get an MP3 download of this song. It's Ganja by Echo Movement.
Ooh, ganja. Some they say, why they take my choice? My way of life is my freedom's voice. If the government cared about your health, cigarettes and liquor be off the shelf. Propaganda feeds the hungry beast. The government is best which governs. Choice. Back in the day, the people had no voice. 1937, the FBI, Harry Anslinger, and some shady men. They locked the Congress saying marijuana kills. Cause that father said the hit.
Ooh, ganja.
We say,
ooh, St. Pierre, Executive Director of Normal. Have you heard about the new super pot that's supposedly 20 times more potent than your father's Woodstock weed? Don't believe the hype. Marijuana's THC potency has always varied, even in the 60s and 70s. And the drug czar's numbers are full of, well, exaggerations. While no intoxicant is harmless, cannabis is non-toxic and far safer than alcohol. No matter how much you smoke, of whatever potency, you cannot die of a marijuana overdose. Potency is irrelevant anyway. More potent pot just means you smoke less of it, meaning less harmful smoke in your lungs. This is a prime example of harm reduction in action. Besides, the government already allows the prescription of THC pills. Its commercial brand name is Marinol, and it's 100% potent. Meanwhile, the federal government won't allow dying people to use natural marijuana, no matter what the potency. Does this make sense to you? Learn the facts about pot. Visit norml.org today.
Legalization, decriminalization, lowest law enforcement priority, medical marijuana, ganja sacrament, consumer cannabis, industrial hemp. The world of marijuana law reform involves many different aspects of cannabis that intersect nearly every public policy discussion in America, including healthcare, the economy, global climate change, law enforcement and prisons, immigration, religion, free speech, energy policy, and war. Now we take a look at how re-legalizing marijuana will change the world in our normal daily audio stash, Cannabis Conversations.
There are many, many people out there that are helping us to bring an end to adult marijuana prohibition, and I want to bring one on the stash today, a man whose posts I've been reading forever on the internet, but this is my first time getting a chance to talk to him in person. It's Clifford Schaefer, who's the founder of druglibrary.org and marijuanabusinessnews.com, and a keeper of so many documents on the drug war and its history. Clifford, thanks for joining us here on the Daily Audio Stash.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you know, a lot of people are talking about how we're kind of in a perfect storm right now for drug law reform, similar to what we had in the 30s when alcohol prohibition was ended, not necessarily because people got smart about it, but because they just couldn't afford it anymore. And so I wanted you to maybe discuss that a little bit with me about what you feel is this economic impetus we have now to end adult marijuana prohibition.
Well, there's, as you said, it is a perfect storm. We're going into some rather unprecedented times financially. And let me just give you a couple of highlights of what I see. Here in California, as you probably already know, marijuana has been legally on sale for more than 10 years now. There are hundreds of stores openly selling it. They have they advertise marijuana specials in the newspaper. They have regular storefronts and strip malls, and some of them even have neon signs in the window. Well, the really interesting part of that, of course, is that it hasn't really bothered anybody. It's not considered a major problem, even in cities like Los Angeles, where there are literally hundreds of stores selling it. It hasn't really bothered anybody. The stores sell more than $1 billion worth a year of marijuana, and they pay more than $100 million a year in sales taxes. Sales taxes are the only taxes that apply. Now, this has been going on, and now we reach the budget crisis. California is currently $40 billion in debt for the year 2009. They are cutting essential services such as school lunches for kids, and they're cutting it from kids who, for many kids, it is the only hot meal they get. They are also issuing IOUs to taxpayers.
Yeah,
in other words, if you do a tax refund from the state of California this year, you're not going to get any money. You're just going to get a promise to pay. Now, the taxpayers in California, I think, are going to reach a unanimous conclusion. And that is that they are going to say that, A, they want their money, and, B, they want kids fed before we waste any more money on flying helicopters to find marijuana in a program that doesn't stop marijuana anyway. I mean, they're spending billions of dollars a year on this, and this is the largest cash crop in California, an agricultural state. So it's not happening. They're going to run out of money here very soon. By this fall, I would bet that you would see the marijuana helicopters grounded completely.
Yeah, it's an amazing time, you know. And in the past, too, we've had economic difficulties before. And those of us in the reform movement have oftentimes tried to point out how much money is on the table there from a regulated and taxed cannabis market. What can we do as reformers now to make this much more obvious to the people who aren't on our side?
Well, we're going to have a wonderful opportunity because these people are going to be agreeing with this naturally. I don't know what it's like in your state, but most states are going to be cutting essential services. In many states, the unemployment fund has already run dry. We're not even at the end of January, and they're having to get their unemployment funds from the federal government. There was a time when we had the luxury of shifting things around and believing that we still had the money there. This year, everybody is going to be saying no more. And what we can do is simply give people the correct choices. Show them what the choice is. The choice is a choice between school lunches for poor kids or flying helicopters. The choice is between you getting your money that the government rightly owes you, the money that you gave them and they've held all this time, or spending money on marijuana interdiction, which doesn't work. And if you give the people those choices, what do you want? Do you want the helicopters to fly, or do you want your money? And in every case that I've seen so far, they will say, screw the helicopters, give me my money.
You would think so. Now, the other side of the equation, of course, are the politicians who are always reluctant to do anything to look soft on drugs or soft on crime. Do you think we can get enough momentum from the people here to overcome that natural resistance from the politicians?
I don't think this will be a political question anymore. I really don't. It's a political question if you've got money. Okay, it may be a political question on whether you write the check for your mortgage every month if you've got the money. But if you don't have the money, you don't have a choice. From now on, this is going to be run by the bean counters. And the bean counters go by what's on the paper. They go by what's in the bank account. You cannot write a check for something that isn't there. So it doesn't really matter what they want. You just can't write a check for it.
You know, I have a history of working in the corporate world, and I discussed this with you in email as well, about how I see that little pet programs get saved is they get folded into something that's a cannot-kill type of program. So do you think that these politicians, you know, facing this problem with their budgets might try to hold on to marijuana prohibition by folding it into, you know, budgets for meth labs and coke interdiction and such like that?
They probably will. In response, activists should get the numbers together and show very clearly what these costs are. Get a list of every cost of the drug war. Like, for instance, in a few minutes on Google, I looked up the cost of what it costs to run a Bell Ranger helicopter for a day. And then I compared that with figures I found for what it costs for school lunches. And I found that flying a helicopter for one day will provide lunches for 1,360 kids. And it goes really beyond that, because if we have taxpayers who are not getting the money the government owes them, those people are going to be very unhappy, and they understand the argument immediately. With them, it's a real thing. With them, it's not something you can fold into a big budget. They're saying, give me my money.
No kidding. So we might be able to get the politicians here at the state level to recognize that, you know, budgetarily, you know, as far as the budget goes, they just cannot afford to do this anymore. What about at the federal level? It's still going to be illegal federally. And how are these states going to get around that sort of prohibition?
Well, California has already gotten around that sort of prohibition. As I mentioned earlier, there are hundreds of stores selling it here, and the The situation is that the federal government just doesn't have enough horses and men to come enforce these laws in any state. Well, you might pick a little state that might be able to do that, but certainly not within California. They just don't have enough manpower to do it, even under the old budget. So the federal government is really going to have to go along with what the states do. And if the states decide that suddenly they just don't have enough money to put marijuana users through the court system anymore, the federal government really can't force them to do it. And they could do something like California is doing, which amounts to kind of a benign neglect. California just isn't putting that much emphasis on it anymore, and there's no way you can go out and make local Los Angeles cops bust marijuana dispensaries if they don't think they have time for it.
Well, it's very, I guess it's the silver lining in this dark cloud of economic troubles we're having here in America. But again, maybe we'll have a progressive revolution like we did in the 30s. We'll get rid of the prohibition like we did in the 30s. And maybe the bright days are just ahead of us. We can only hope.
I think pretty much at this point it's a foregone conclusion. And it just comes down to numbers.
I mean,
you know, you can talk all you want about how you want to do this great campaign to stop marijuana planting or anything, but, you know, you got to put gas in the tank to get that helicopter off the ground. You know, you got to pay for gas in the police cars, and at this point it looks like they're going to be firing police and putting cars back in the garage. So, you know, this is going to come down to a real hard set of choices. And I think the American public is going to agree with everybody else, agree with the marijuana people, that this is a waste of money. It just can't go on. We just don't have the funds for this anymore.
Well, I can't wait for that day. It's a beautiful concept to think about, that it may just be economics that end prohibition, any, you know, more so than morality or justice or anything like that. And hey, whatever it takes, I'm all for it. Well, Clifford Schaefer is the webmaster behind marijuanabusinessnews.com, and also the founder of druglibrary.org. If you haven't been out to druglibrary.org, get out there. It's all your basic research you need to know about this stupid marijuana prohibition. And Clifford, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, Wes.
Thank you for downloading the Normal Daily Audio Stash, The Growing Truth About Cannabis. We are produced by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. Our executive producer is Alan St. Pierre. Our deputy director is Paul Armentano. Our webmaster is Brian Judy. And web production is provided by Red Aphid Interactive Media. As always, you can catch up on the latest information about marijuana at www.normal.org. And you can interact and download from our Audio Stash blog at stash.normal.org. For everyone here at Normal, I'm your host, Radical Russ Belville, hoping all your harvests are bountiful and your encounters with law enforcement are non-existent. We leave you today with another one of our cannabis quotes. This one comes from one of our founding fathers, Samuel Adams, who said, quote, "It does not require a majority to prevail, but rather an irate, tireless minority keen to set brush fires in people's minds," end quote. And that's what we're doing here at the Normal Daily Audio Stash, setting forth to educate people, one listener at a time, to learn the truth, the growing truth about cannabis. It's time to re-legalize marijuana in America and get this country back to her hemp roots. And with your help, we're going to do that very soon. Thanks for downloading the podcast and making us the most popular news and affairs podcast on the internet concerning grassroots marijuana law reform. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.